Father, we stand in awe of you, Lord, and we are honored by your presence. And we ask you, Father, would you help us to listen? Thank you for your word. Thank you that it is life to us, that it is a path to us. Come on, church. Thank you that it is life to us. Lord, and we ask you not just to open our ears, but to open, Lord, our hearts to you. Lord, that you may do heart surgery this morning. Lord, that you may not just challenge our lives, but you may change our lives. Lord, that we will consistently bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. Lord, by what we say and what we do, we say thank you, don't we, church? Thank you, God, for all that you are. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks. Amen. Amen. Come on, that's it. Give it up. Let's go. Please feel free to take your seats. Excellent. Well, we get to start, or I get to start a new series this morning. What an honor. It's great. Cool. And I've entitled this series, If Not Me, Then Who? If Not Me, Then Who? I want to tell you that it's a great question to ask. And I'm going to be going back to one of my, if not my, favorite book of the Bible, which is in the Old Testament. And it's the book of Nehemiah. I love Nehemiah. I love the story. How many know the story of Nehemiah? And some of you won't this morning, and hopefully over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll try and bring some of that to you and some of the context of that. But let me start by saying this, that in the Old Testament, everyone say Old Testament. So we're back in the Old Testament, and in wartime, when cities would and empires would take cities for themselves, they would capture the city, and they would take the people of the city into captivity, or they would take them into exile. And that's what this story of Nehemiah is around that we're going to be looking at today. The scene of Nehemiah, to start with, is when this young guy was serving the king in Persia, a place called the Citadel of Susa. And this is a young guy called Nehemiah, and he was serving the king. And this is hundreds of years before the Jesus bit, before he comes. So that's just a little bit of context. Let me read the first few verses of Nehemiah chapter 1. And so these are the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, this is Nehemiah speaking now, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. So he'd come from Jerusalem, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant of which he was one. So here's Nehemiah in a foreign country, but working for a foreign king, but he's a Jew, and speaking about the people that are left in Jerusalem. I asked them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile. So now the exile has happened and some have gone back to live in Jerusalem. I also asked him about Jerusalem. And this was the report that they gave in verse 3. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province, and they are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let's just leave it there. Let me ask you a question. What do you like at interruptions? Someone comes and interrupts you or what you're doing, how do you respond to that? I know what your husbands are thinking about you wives right now, that you are the perpetrator of those interruptions. That I've lived with a wife, I must make this clear, I was going to say I've lived with five women, that wouldn't be right, would it? I have lived with a wife and four daughters for many, many years of my life. And some would say, there's your answer. They are the reason that you've been interrupted so many times. I wonder what interrupts you. I wonder what's been the biggest interruption of your life. As you think about it, things that have interrupted your life. So as I think about it, there's some pretty big interruptions happening in my life. Let me just share one of them very, very quickly with you. In a context and an environment that you would least expect to be interrupted. So at a funeral. So my father and I, many years ago, were conducting this funeral, not in this building, but in the previous building that we used to be in. And we were burying this guy, been part of the church community. He was in his 80s and he'd gone to his inheritance in glory in heaven, and we were kind of just doing this funeral service, and halfway through the funeral service, this guy that we'd never seen in our lives before walked into the back and shouted that he wanted to raise this guy from the dead. How many know that is quite an interruption if you've ever had one, a major interruption? I'm going to hang that story right there and move on very, very quickly. I'll tell you another one next week. So what about interruptions? How are you with interruptions? In fact, let me ask you this. How are you with God interrupting you? Think about that for a moment. What would that look like if God, would you even hear that? If God came along and decided that he was going to interrupt you. I wonder if any of you could give some stories this morning of how God interrupted your life. And so we come back to Nehemiah and we look at this guy who's in a foreign land and he's working in the palace. In fact, he is the cupbearer to the king. So he would bring the wine to the king and he would try the wine first before he gave it to the king. The reason that he would do that is so that if someone was trying to poison the king, he would die first. That's the reason that they had the cupbearer. So he would serve the king his wine. And so that's what he was doing. He had been taken to the citadel of Susa from Jerusalem as an exile a number of years previously. Now, I want you to get this. That's the story, but here's the deal. Everyone say the deal. Here's the deal. Here's Nehemiah getting on with his life. He's just getting on with his life. And God comes along and interrupts him. Now, I don't know if you know God really well, but I think one of his greatest attributes is interrupting things. If you look in the Bible, you see that God is consistently interrupting things. And it's no different in this scenario. God interrupts Nehemiah getting on with his life. And so three things very quickly this morning that I want to bring you to start off this series. Three things about God's interruptions in your life. I'm speaking about the interruptions of God. Is that okay? So number one, God's interruptions are there to capture our intentness. His interruptions are there to capture our intentness. You see, this is what I believe. God's trying to get your attention. Come on. I said, God is trying to capture, he's trying to gain, he's trying to bring you into a place where you're listening to him. He's interrupting you today to capture your attention because he wants to show you some things. He wants to tell you some things. He wants to take you to some places. He's interrupting you for that very purpose. And on that day, he caught the attention of Nehemiah. And I want to say this to you, whoever you are this morning, that it's kind of the same scenario today. That you look at Nehemiah from so many, I don't know, thousands of years ago now, and you see that God interrupted this guy's life, and God is here to do the same with you. It's the same kind of scenario. You see, here's the deal. You're just getting on with life. Whatever that life may look like, you are just getting on, and that's what you'd say, I'm getting on with my life. You see, Nehemiah was a cupbearer. And you're a mum. And you're getting on with life. Nehemiah was serving the king as a cupbearer. And you're running a business. And you're getting on with your life. You see where I'm going with this? You may be a teacher. For a profession and for a living, you may teach children, you may teach adults. And you're getting on with your life. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king, and you're a student. You're getting on with life. You know, he was a layman. I hate that word, but you understand what I mean. He wasn't leading a church community. He wasn't high up in the sense of leadership of a city. He was a layman, but he was getting on with his life. You may say, I'm a layman. You may be a tradesman, and God is interrupting your life. All of these things. But I ask you a big question this morning. As I stand before you and as I've looked and studied this stuff, a very, very simple question, but a very important question for all of us who would say, hey, I'm part of this community this morning. Or even if you're just visiting, you're saying, do you know what? I'm listening to what you're saying and I'm going to capture what you say. Maybe God's speaking into your heart this morning. The question is this. Can you be interrupted? Are you in a place where you can be interrupted? Well, what do you mean, Dave? I'm saying, is your mind made up? As you're getting on with your life and as you have your own plans, nothing wrong with those plans, as you're getting on with your business, as you're getting on mothering and fathering, as you're getting on trying to just do life, as you're getting on being a teacher and trying to help the education department, as you're getting on, you may be a politician this morning, as you're trying to be a politician and be the best you can you be interrupted by God? As you stand in the playground with other mothers, can you be in a place where you can be interrupted by God? Or do you walk around in life with an invisible sign on your front and on your back that reads the words, do not disturb? We're looking at our lives right now. We're looking at what we really like. You know, you may be a follower of Jesus. I'm speaking to you. You may not call this place your home, and you may not say, I'm a believer this morning. You may be an atheist. You may be agnostic. You may maybe just haven't made your mind up. But I'm asking you the question, can you be interrupted by God? Here's kind of a bold observation that I made this week about the church. This is what I believe, that most of us are on our mission. Now it's gone quiet. Most of us are on our mission more than God's mission. But you know, there came a day in a guy's life called Nehemiah where he interrupted him. He got through all of the stuff. He got through all of the plans. He got through all of the getting on with life. He got through all of the fear of what's going to happen to me if I start listening to God. He got through everything that was a barrier on that day, and he interrupted Nehemiah. And I want you to be aware that today God wants to interrupt you. That he wants you to be in a place where you're not so, your mind isn't so made up, that you've made your decisions, that all your ducks are in a row, and that you're getting on with your life. Because let me remind you something, this isn't just about you, the individual, this is about the church of Jesus Christ. How many know that he's called us to be the body of Christ?
He's not just called us to be a part out there doing our bit for Jesus, and then we come together for a little sing-song, a little kumbaya session on a Sunday morning. But he's called us together to be the church of Jesus Christ. Seems to me that when Nehemiah asked some questions, stuff started to happen. You know, that there's something interesting and something very profound and something very powerful about asking questions. He was asking questions on this day. He was basically saying, he's saying to his brother, how's the Jewish remnant? You know what he was meaning? He was basically saying, how are my people? How are my people? How are the people of the city that I belong to? And while I'm asking you, how is Jerusalem? How is my city? How are my people and how are my city? There was ownership there. There was responsibility there. It wasn't just about him getting on with life. Because how many know that he was far enough away from the need not to have to touch it? He's in another place. He's doing life every day, Monday to Friday, if not Saturday and Sunday, serving the king. He's not got Jerusalem on his mind. He's getting on with life. So he asked the question, and I think it's fair to say this, that our lives are guided more by the questions we ask than the statements we make. Think about it. Life is about questions. We can make statements, you know. We give our opinions and we make our statements. But God interrupts us on the back of our questions, which is exactly what happened on the day when he was in the presence of the king and he heard his brothers saying this stuff about his people and his city. God interrupted him because he had something to say to him. And it came on the back of a question. Everyone say concern. You see, for Nehemiah, concern, and this is true in life, I believe, concern often starts with a question we ask, not with a statement that we make. And I think when we do that, you know, concern came. He asked the question. He got the answer that he didn't probably expect. But concern came into his heart because he asked the right question. And on the back of that, God interrupted his life, and his life would never be the same because of the interruption of God. That's the first thing I want to say. The second thing that I want to note about God's interruptions is this, that his interruptions are always inconvenient. Is this okay? That his interruptions are always inconvenient. You know, it seems to me that that's sometimes why we do get on with what we're doing, because if we get interrupted, how many know that there's something coming on the back of the interruption? How many know that when your child, maybe grown up now, but when they were younger, and some of you with young kids, when they come up and they come and grab your dress or they grab your trouser leg and they're trying to interrupt you, it's usually because they want something. And so understand that God's interruptions, I believe, are always inconvenient. The reality is that that's why they're interruptions. Yeah? That's why they're interruptions. It's like, well, why are you interrupting me? Because I need your attention. I need something, Dad. I need something, Mom. I need something, Brother. It's because they are what they are, interruptions. Understand that interruptions, they disturb the normal flow. Hear me. When you get interrupted by God, God is out to disturb your normal flow. Wow, this is getting more and more exciting. Or more and more disengaging, depending on where you are. Depending on how you answer the question of, can I be disturbed? Can I be interrupted? And so interruptions, they disturb the normal flow. This is what I note about interruptions, is that they're going to cause a shift or a change. It's coming. If you come to a place where you're hearing the interruption of God and you stop for that moment and you hear what he has to say, there is a shift or a change that God wants to bring in your life. And the other thing that I notice here straight away about his interruptions not being convenient is that they often, his interruptions often don't suit our plans. You know why? Because it's about his mission, not our mission. Oh God, we've got our plans. God, bless my plans. God, I want to do this. I want to see this. I want to achieve this. I want to be successful in that. And God says, wow, that's incredible stuff. What about my mission? That's your mission. What about my mission? God wants to interrupt you because how many know he's interested in his mission? He loves you. He loves what you're doing. He's not against the plans that you have. But how many know that his plans for you are incredible? So I want you to note something about Nehemiah with this wonderful little story in the Bible that tells of this guy who was interrupted by God and he makes a journey to his home city and does some incredible things. It's an awesome story. But I want to tell you something about this interruption. This interruption disturbed Nehemiah. God's interruptions are going to disturb your life. Oh, it's so quiet in here. Is this because you're listening? Cool, that's fine. Or because it's too hot? You're allowed to take one. No, I was going to say you're allowed to take one lot of clothing off, but looking at some of you, that would not be appropriate right now. So in this context of Nehemiah, and he was disturbed. It upset him. You know, you wouldn't think that God is in the business of upsetting people. This upset Nehemiah. Come on. Like, it wasn't very encouraging to hear that the city was in tatters. The people were in disgrace. That didn't do him any good. It upset him to the point that it brought him to his knees. That he cried out to God in another land. He cried out to God for his people and for his city. This affected him greatly, disturbed him and upset him. This report was that the city was in tatters. A little bit like now. A little bit like today. Come on. A little bit about like our town that we love in this region of the northwest of England. The same kind of scenario. It's a bit like now. And I want to tell you that when God interrupts you with what is on his mind, everyone say his mind. When God begins to interrupt you with what's on his mind, it is never, everyone say never. Never. It's never going to be convenient. You wished I'd said it's never going to be inconvenient. It's never going to be convenient. I heard a great story this week. Just meeting up with someone and hearing this person's story of a massive, massive interruption in the world of their family. And as I'm listening, I'm getting upset hearing about this interruption. And sometimes we don't understand what's God and what's not. We don't know whether to pray for grace in it or to pray against it. We don't know. And then this story wasn't a pleasant story to hear of their journey as a family and some of the stuff and some of the mess. But then he began to tell me about what effectively was an interruption of God. That term wasn't used, but where God met him. There was just a point of grace. Come on. You know that. When you're in a mess and you need God and God, suddenly he's there and you know he's there and he's doing a work in your life and a work of grace, that's a beautiful picture. Suddenly the story was not one of mess and disintegration anymore, but it was a story of restoration. It was just an awesome thing to listen to. I was so honored to listen to it. And now on this end of this, what we could say was an interruption of their lives, is this wonderful story of grace and liberty. Even the countenance of this guy's face changed. We were able to encourage one another in how to live in grace and liberty. It was just a beautiful, beautiful thing. Sometimes his interruptions upset us. That's what I'm saying. We need to understand that when God pulls at our trouser leg or our skirt or whatever it is, he tries to get our attention. Sometimes we think it's going to be all wonderful and out there and on this kind of band out there, you know, in the sky. Sometimes it's hard to hear. Sometimes it greatly upsets us when the interruption of God comes. You see, when God interrupted Paul, the apostle, on the road of Damascus with blindness, he interrupted him with blindness. Hey, thank you, God. An introduction of Jesus. He made me blind. Well, yippity-doo. Thank you, Jesus. Imagine that. You wouldn't want that as an introduction to Jesus. You're here, you say, I don't know Jesus. I don't want to know him. I don't want to be blind. What an introduction. God interrupted Paul on the road to Damascus with blindness. Not very convenient, I would suggest. But ultimately, extremely eye-opening. Did you see what I did there? Some of you didn't. God interrupted Isaiah of the Old Testament. What a story. Not convenient. But he ultimately came to the response of, here I am, Lord, send me. The interruption of God, that's what it was. God interrupted Esther. Another one who was in a safe place, an enclave of a palace. Not really convenient for the queen to do anything about the situation, to watch her own people annihilated while she was married to a foreign king. Not really convenient when her uncle Mordecai, who brought her up, said, do you think that you will escape if you don't do something about this? If not me, then who? Yeah. Esther. If you don't do something, who will do something about this? If you don't go to the city, who will go to the city? If you don't bring restoration to the lives of men and women and boys and girls, who will bring restoration to them? If not me, then who? And Esther had to come to a point, an understanding of the fact that she was born for such a time as this. God interrupted his disciples. Sounds all good, doesn't it? God comes to your office tomorrow. Jesus turns up and says, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Whoa. Can I just finish this email, Jesus? Can I just pay this bill? God interrupted his disciples, said, come and follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. I want to tell you, it wasn't convenient. It was not convenient. And how sad when we know that God interrupted, well, who's known as the rich young ruler. God came along and he interrupts people. Not everybody says yes. Not everybody responds well to interruption. God interrupted the rich young ruler. I want to tell you, it was too big an ask for him. Can you be interrupted? Where you are in life, at the stage of life you are. At the status of life that you are. Positionally where you are. Contextually where you are. Can you be interrupted by Jesus? What I feel is that we need to begin to recognize the interruptions of God. Maybe we don't recognize them. We need to recognize the interruptions of God. Well, Lord, I promise now, because I feel a bit convicted now. You said all that, Dave. I promise I'll pray about it. I'll pray about it. I'll make it a matter of prayer. Hey, that's cool. That's really good. You know, I noticed about Nehemiah, he was a man of prayer. What did he do? He got really upset. And what does the Bible say he did? He says he mourned. He prayed. He fasted. Wow, he was serious. Hey, guys, Jerusalem, having a rubbish time. I'll fast for you. Lord, I'll pray about it. Lord, I'm hearing what you're saying, Lord, and I'm kind of at the stage of life where it's pretty much okay and I'm getting on with life and, you know, even maybe I've done my bit. Lord, you remember 20 years ago when you interrupted me and I did that thing for you? Can I just say that he's a bit of a master interrupting our lives? He doesn't just interrupt them once. It's like he's on our case. It's just, are we listening? Like, God, will you never interrupt me? Maybe you're not listening. Maybe you're hearing your own plans. Maybe you're hearing your own mission. Maybe you're so busy fulfilling your own plans and your own mission that you're not bothered about his mission anymore. And if we said that, oh, no, I am bothered. Well, how bothered are we? Maybe God, in all his grace, is just tugging at your heartstrings again. Maybe he's upset you. Maybe you feel really upset. It's like, do you know what, Dave? I'd not realized God's interrupting me. That's what this is about. I felt like this for ages, and you've articulated it today as the interruption of God. That's what it is. And it's really upset me. I'm pretty cheesed off with God at the minute. I'm like, here I am in my plans, and you're coming upsetting my plans. Who are you, God, to come and upset my mission? After all, I kind of tithe. Notice the kind of. And I try and come along when I can and be part of the church community, and I even know some of the songs now. I applied for the worship team. They won't let me come on because I'm rubbish. But at least I tried. Where are you? Where are you? The interruptions of God Almighty are very powerful and awesome. They're not to be played with. So I'll pray about it. Let me tell you something about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man of prayer. But for him, prayer alone was never going to be enough. Nothing wrong with prayer. Jesus, through prayer, changes stuff. Nothing wrong with prayer. But this was never going to be enough for this young guy. He had to do something. He had to act. It meant his hands and his feet getting dirty. It was never enough. It was never going to even be enough to say, tell me mates in Jerusalem, I'm praying for them. Yeah, send a few quid for them. So it wasn't going to be his giving. It wasn't going to be his well-wishing. It was going to be him getting on his bike and going doing something. This is what the action looked like. So on God's interruption, it's like, well, what do I do now, God? I've prayed. Well, do you know what my interruption is? You need to go and do something about that city that's in tatters. So the action for Nehemiah looked like this. He had to go before the king and ask for extended leave. It's bad enough at work, isn't it, to do that? He had to ask for extended leave of his duty. Do you know that alone took him out of his comfort zone? That alone. To go and ask the king. You know, these kings, they love the fact that you drink their wine before them just in case it had poison in it. They ain't bothered. They're not bothered. It's just, I'm not dead, you are. You drank it first. No, 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 no. And so to go and ask for extended leave may have meant his head going. It may have meant him being thrown in prison. Who knows what would have happened? But he had to go and ask. He had to go and ask a hard question of someone. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe in the interruption of God, maybe you've got to ask yourself some hard questions and stop just making the statements. And maybe you need to go and ask something of someone else. But it was certainly out of his comfort zone, and it was never convenient. So as I wrap this up, because there's a third point, I'm going to tell you what it is, but I'm not going to tell you anything about it, so you might half come back next week. Here's a question. If God interrupted you and asked you to quit something, would you do it?
Depends where it is. If you mean me cigs. No, if you mean me wife tomorrow.
Oh, there's some priorities for you. If God asked you to quit something in life that was big to you, it's like, this is my gig. This is my deal. If he asked you to quit, would you quit? God interrupted you and said, that's it. It's your time. I want something else for you now. Quit. How big is that thing in relation to your love for Christ? How big is it? Would you quit? Let's put it the other side. If God asked you to start something, God said, I want you to start this. And because of the interruption, it means the change of flow. It means I've got to change focus, but I've got to start this thing. God's interrupted me and I've got to start this thing. Would you do it? Would you really do it? Or is your mind already made up? Are your plans so strong, that's it? God, don't bother knocking on my door. Can you not see God? Do not disturb. Can you not see it? Yeah, I love you, Jesus. I love you, but I ain't doing that. I'm not quitting and I'm not starting. I'm just carrying on what I'm doing. It's the mission of David. I wonder what you'd do. See, God's been interrupting my life. For so long. For so many years ago that I don't even like to think now. Whenever I plan something, it's like, come and interrupt me. I'm like, God, don't you realize this is the mission of David? And God, it includes you. Come on. My plans include you, Jesus. So why are you interrupting me and getting on my case? God says, this is what's on my mind, David, and this is what I want you to do. Now, I don't want you to just get this mixed up with the fact that I came into what's known as full-time Christian ministry. I don't want you to get mixed up with that, because Nehemiah was, in our terms, a layman. So I'm talking about our mission field out there, not here on a Sunday. That's what I'm talking about. So in that, the interruptions of God have come on my life. Time and time and time. It's like, God, how many times can you interrupt me? But here's the bottom line that I really believe. God wants to interrupt your tidy life. In fact, I would go as far as to say that he wants to interrupt your designed schedule and your design of living. Ooh, that hurt. Well, I thought you taught, Dave, that it's okay for us to live in designer living and to have stuff. And yeah, absolutely. I love the blessing of God. I love the abundance of God being blessed and poured out on his church. Absolutely. It shows the world the way. I believe all that. But which is more important, your designer living or the mission of God? Which is more important to you right now, this stage of life you are? Which is more important? See, the reality is that Nehemiah got more serious about God's mission than his own. Wow. Whose mission are you more serious about? Yours or God's? Are they one and the same? And when he got serious about God's mission more than his own and just getting on with life, he found that it wasn't convenient at all. Let me give you point number three, just the title, and I'm going to pray. Number three, often God's interruptions are God's interventions. That sounds good, doesn't it? So we'll start with that next week. Let's pray. Let's just pray for a moment. Come on, in the stillness of the presence of God in this place. I'm not going for music this morning. It's just gonna be me and you and God. But I can't move away from this, in all honesty. I cannot move away from this. I can't not have a response to that this morning. I can't. I'm not gonna force a response, that's up to you, but I can't not give you a chance to respond. I can't do that. And let me speak to maybe some of you that say, do you know, I'm not a faith, or I've just been learning about Jesus and I've kind of not made my mind up, or wherever you are on this scale of knowing God and getting your act together with Jesus and knowing him as your Savior, knowing him as the Savior of your life, allowing the grace of God just to flood into your life, the undeserved favor of God called grace. I want to tell you something. God, whoever you are, wherever you're from this morning, God's wanting to interrupt your life right now. You see, he's trying to get your attention. That's the bottom line. He's been trying to get your attention for a while now. In fact, all your life, your life's been like a storyboard, and at different points in your life, things have happened, or you've met certain people, or certain scenarios, circumstances have come in your life, and you've not recognized it, but they've been the interruptions of God, trying to get your attention. It's like, come on, wake up, I'm trying to get your attention. And I think God is maybe asking us this question. He may be saying to you this morning, what are you doing with my son Jesus? What are you doing with him? Because it's so clear that he's given his life, that actually paid the price for our sin by dying. And now he interrupts your world to say, what are you going to do with Jesus? Maybe this morning it's time that you acknowledge that fact that Jesus did that stuff for you. And that you receive his full grace and his forgiveness. Because that's on the table right now. In God's interruption to your life, that is now what's at stake. It's like, God, I give you my life. I give you all my wrongdoing. I give you all my sin. I come to you and I say, God, would you bring your grace and forgiveness into my life so I can walk in the liberty and the grace and the freedom that I'm supposed to have because of what you've done. That's the good news of the gospel. And I'm asking a response from you, whoever you are. Don't matter if you've never been here before or you've been coming here regularly for a long time. If you're saying, do you know what? I want to appropriate that stuff to my life. What I'm going to do with Jesus is take him on board in my life. That's what I'm going to do because of the interruption of God. I keep getting interrupted and God, it's about time I responded. If you feel like that, would you lift your hand where you are right now? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you. I just want to know if you're here. Just lift your hand. You're saying, that's me. God's interrupting my life. Thank you. Thank you. Someone else, you're saying, yeah, that's me. Just lift your hand high. I've seen some of you out there. Thank you. See you at the back there. Thank you so much. I see you. That's someone else. You say, God, you keep interrupting my life. And it's about time that I made a stand and said, Jesus, I want you to come into my life and be the Lord of my life. I want that grace and that liberty and that mercy to flow freely and forgiveness in my world. Anyone else? Three or four people already lifted their hand. I'm waiting for you. If not, I'm going to move straight on. And then we're going to have coffee and a laugh together. Anybody else? Can I pray for you? You're saying, yeah, that's me. I'm being honest with you this morning. Thank you so much. Thank you. Someone else there. That's great. There's four or five people. Anybody else going to join them? Saying, you know, that's how I feel today. God, you're on my case and I can see it in my life. And today is the day that I'm actually going to make the decision to say yes to Jesus. Because it has to happen. It kind of doesn't just slightly happen. You've got to make a decision and say, yeah, God, that's me. So can I see your hand? Thank you so much. Thank you. I see you there. You can take your hand there. Someone else. Anybody else before I pray? And then I'm quickly going to move on. I'm not going to have a long appeal for this next one, but I do want to give people an opportunity. Thank you. That's someone else. Thank you. Hey, do you know what? I think, church, it's good that we give people time to make this decision, don't you think? I don't know, half a dozen people or so, maybe more. So while the going's good, let's keep going. You know, is there a seventh? Is there someone who's kind of saying, I'm being honest with God today, Dave, and that's me. Please pray for me as well. Anybody else, just before I pray? Okay, Father, thank you for, Lord, these Lord, really honest people. Thank you for, Lord, just the fact that you've interrupted their world for a good reason. To bring them to a state of salvation in your Son, Jesus. And I just pray that into their world right now, Lord. Pray, Lord, as they come with their baggage and laid at the feet of Jesus, Lord, you will just bring honor and grace and forgiveness and love and destiny and plans and your mission. Lord, never stop interrupting them. So we get on your course. And we get on to your plans. Okay, for anybody else here this morning, very, very quickly, without going into major detail, I'm not going to, but you feel God's interrupting you. You feel God's interrupting you. Whatever that means to you, I feel God's interrupting me. After what you've said, I believe God's on my case, he's interrupting me, and I need to acknowledge that I'm listening, God, i.e., God, you've now got my attention. I'd like you to lift your hand now if that's you. You say, yeah, God's on my case. He's interrupting me. And God, I lift my hand to say, I'm listening. That's what you're doing. It's a faith step. I'm listening, God. God, I'm listening. So please, if you need to speak louder, God, speak a bit louder because I don't mind your interruption, but I don't really understand what you're telling me. I know what I'm going through. I know I'm upset. I know how I feel. But Lord, I don't know all that that means. So we're lifting our hand, many of you this morning, to say, God, I'm listening. I know that you're on my case, Lord, and you're showing me something right now. Thank you so much. Please take your hands down. Father, Lord, again, I pray grace, Lord, into these people's lives. Thank you for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that you bother to interrupt us. Who is man that you should love us or care for us? But you do. Lord, and we don't feel like worms. We thank you, God, that we know who we are in Christ. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are big enough to keep interrupting us, to keep on our case. And we say thank you
in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I want you to give it up for all the brave people that said yes to Jesus this morning. Can we do that? Thank you so much for listening. God bless you.